Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these amazing stories and what they teach us. And we ask now that you would speak to us afresh as we think about your word, the Bible, this morning. Amen. Well, I don't know how well you know that story, how often you've read it and reflected on it. I have to say, when Tom said to ask me, would I preach and do this morning's service, it's an all-age service, I said yes, assuming he'd give me a passage like the Good Samaritan or the feeding of the 5,000, something really easy and familiar, given that I was away on holiday and got back late last night. But no, he gave me a passage that I've never preached on, never really focused on, and seems to involve people talking about killing each other. And I thought, thanks, Tom. I didn't say that to him, so I'm not talking about him behind his back. But then, as always, what happens is when I get given a passage like this, and in Tom's wisdom, he picks ones that have something really interesting to say to us. And that passage, when you read it, it does read like a bit as if you've got hold of a film script, doesn't it? This, you can imagine the scene. There's those 40 men who are so angry. They get together and whisper this plot. But they don't realise that in the background, we don't know what he was doing, whether he was a servant or whatever. It happens to be Paul's nephew, his sister's son. And he goes off and talks to Paul, who talks to the governor, and they drag him, they take him there, and he gives him the message. And then they get Paul out to the city, but they're so worried, they use 200 soldiers to guard him. It really does have that feel of a bit of a plot of a film, doesn't it? Something happening. And I thought, so what's God saying to us? And I'm sure by now you're thinking, now I understand why you thought about Elizabeth Fry, because clearly it all links together, doesn't it? Hopefully you'll find out why. There are three groups of people in this passage I want us just to think about for a few minutes. The first ones are those Jewish men. Those were devout Jews. That's what we know. They were really devout Jews. They had read the Torah, all of what we would call the Old Testament. They would have studied it. They would have known very clearly that it says, very clearly, do not commit murder. And yet, they got so wrapped up in their religious zealotry that truth mattered more than caring for people. They got so obsessed with our version of truth is more important than anything else. We'll defend that. And we'll forget about all the other stuff we know that God says to do. Those good people were capable of doing really bad things. And it's a real warning to us. I'm sure none of you are going to plot to kill anybody, so please don't do that, by the way. It's a bad thing. But it's really easy to get so obsessed with making sure we are right or on the right side of the argument that we forget about treating the other people as humans loved and made by God. Being right can become so important that we start to be rude about people or gossip about them or ignore them or do whatever to them. It's really easy, and we see it happening all the time today. Good people who should know better being really aggressive, really horrible, because they've forgotten all the commands of God to love even people we disagree with. Good people can do bad things. It's a real warning to us. Always remember to love and care for God's people, even when we strongly disagree with them. But then we have this character, Paul's nephew, no idea what he was called, don't think he comes up anywhere else in the Bible, who is pivotal. And this is where I hope you'll start to see the links, because he heard about something bad that was going to happen. And again, he had a couple of options, didn't he? Oh, blimey. And gone home and gone, oh, what a nightmare. Oh, me uncle. Oh, dear. And hid his head under the duvet cover and gone, oh, dear, how terrible, and done nothing about it. That's one thing. He could have gone, that's my uncle you're talking about. I thought, I'm going to take him on, I'll have him. And he could have run in there and started trying to beat up the 40 Jewish men. Go, I'll have you. I'll take you on. And thinking, I can do it. I'll have them. And no doubt it would have come out quite badly out of that. Because however strong you are, taking on 40 people is pretty, pretty tough. But he did what Elizabeth did. He saw something bad and he thought, what's the right way to deal with this? How do I actually make a difference here? And so he went straight, managed somehow to get to Paul, who was in prison. He was under a kind of a house arrest. He was in prison. And said, I've heard this. What should we do? Paul then, as you know, says to them, take him to the governor. And he doesn't then go, oh, no, that sounds a bit scary. Oh, no, I've told you. I don't want to do that. He goes to the right people and tells them exactly what's happened. And that must have been quite scary, because he might have been thinking, what if those 40 people hear that I'm the one who shot them? What if they find out, given that they are so angry, they've decided not to eat until they kill him, what if they find out I'm the one? That's quite scary, isn't it? You can imagine going, well, yeah, I get it, actually. I can understand why you might not want to say anything, because you're now quite vulnerable. Elizabeth Fry went to places where women didn't normally go and spoke to people in power, in those days men, and said, you need to do something different. They probably wouldn't have killed her, but they may well have been really insulting and rude to her or dismissive. She made herself vulnerable. And that nephew, he did the right thing. He saw something bad. He didn't just fly off the handle and scream and shout and try hitting people. He didn't just ignore it. He thought, how do I make the difference? Even when that's quite scary, how do I make the difference? And then we get the governor chap, the chap in charge. He believes him. He believes this nephew. We don't know how old the nephew was, but I don't know, maybe 20-ish if he was Paul's sister. So Paul was maybe in his 40s, his sister's son, so we can guess probably there, a young man. Could have gone, giant. Fanciful. You're young, you're excitable. No. How many of us, when we hear something that sounds a bit fanciful, from someone perhaps who's a bit younger than us or quite a lot younger, someone who hasn't got the right qualification, do we go, no, it'll be fine. I've got it. You wait till you're as old as I am, then you'll understand. You wait till you've done the qualifications I've got, then you'll understand. He didn't do that. He believed him. What if he got it wrong? He would have looked a right Charlie, wouldn't he? Doing all that and there wasn't a threat at all. He would have looked a right idiot. He also was brave. He also said, yeah, I'll go with it. Here's someone who was willing to listen to a young person, willing to listen to someone who was saying something that sounded incredible and go, do you know what? I think you're the kind of person I'm going to believe you. And I'm going to act on it. And then he really did act, didn't he? He didn't just go, well, what we'll do is we'll put another lock on the door. They'll be fine. I just won't meet with them. I'll send them off. Oh, no, I've got 200 soldiers out the back. I'll call them in. We'll get them out of the city. I'm taking this really seriously. And I don't know whether they formed a big circle of 200 with Paul in the middle and all shuffled out the door. That would be the kind of comedy way I would do it in a film. They probably did it better than that. But they got him out. This guy was not Jewish. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't on Paul's side, but he was the one who said, I will help Paul and I'll help him big time. I will make sure. He could have gone, do you know what? He's a prisoner. If he dies in his cell, is anyone going to notice? It's a lot less hassle. I've got to get these 200 soldiers. They're going to want pay in. They're going to want, if these 40 kill him, well, no one's going to notice, are they? It's another prisoner that we didn't really like. We'll dress it up as an accident. Could have done, couldn't he? Got away with it. But someone outside helped. Help came from an unexpected place. And really big help. Not from a Christian, from someone completely different. And I wonder how often we are willing and ready to look for help from people we don't expect help from. Because that can often happen. And I don't know how many of you know the story of one of the stories of when we built the Springfield Project, which was just being done when Sarah and I joined the church 18 years ago. But one of the things that happened was when all the talk with the council was being done about the funding for the children's centre, there was one person locally who thought this shouldn't happen. It was a local Muslim young man and thought this should go to a Muslim project. How can the church have all this money? And the mosque over the road heard about this, and they went, no, the church are good. And they did a petition, didn't they? Do you remember this, those of you who were around at the time? They had a petition at the back supporting the planning application and the application for the Springfield project. And that petition went in with all the other paperwork, and it was one of the reasons why we got to have the Springfield project. One of the main reasons why they gave approval for all of that and all that's happened since is because the mosque said, we want it. And we're going to back you guys to do it, because you do well. Help came. We had help from other parts of the Church of England as well. But help came from over the road, perhaps where we weren't looking for it at the time. I wonder how often we're prepared to look for, ask for, accept help from where we might least expect it. To recognise those who are gracious and generous, who are outside the Christian faith, but are also those who are really generous, in the way that the governor was towards Paul. He helped, and helped with a real abundance, 200 soldiers. Not just a couple of guys smuggling out the back, 200. So this passage that I looked at and went, what on earth am I going to do with this, Tom? Has brought these three people to me. Three groups of people. Good people who got so obsessed with being right, they forgot about being caring and loving and kind. Being right was more important than being loving, and that is not what the Bible says anywhere. And they should have known that. Good people who got it wrong. A young person, a young man whose name we don't even know, who saw an issue and thought, I'm going to deal with it. And thought of a really good way to deal with it. And then this governor who listened to a young person but offered help, and help came from where we don't expect it. And that says to me a lot about my attitude. How often do I want to be right and win an argument? Feels good when we win arguments. How often does that happen to me? And forget about how the person in front of me is feeling. How often do I see issues and just go, do you know what? I'm walking past. And sadly, there are so many issues to deal with, and we can't solve all the problems. That young man, that nephew, he would have walked past beggars in the streets, he would have walked past other things. He didn't solve the whole world. He saw one issue and dealt with it. I wonder what the issue is that I see, that you see, and you think, I could deal with that. God's laying it on my heart to deal with that. Elizabeth Fry didn't solve the whole world. She saw one thing and went, I'm going to deal with that, and kept going and found the right way to deal with it. What might God be laying on your heart and saying, I want you to deal with this. I want you to find a good way to deal with it. And then finally, are we the kind of people who are generous enough to accept help from outside and maybe be the help that people don't expect? Do we help others, or do we only want to help other Christians, only want to help people like us? Or are we also willing to help others? And are we willing to accept offers of help from outside? Three really good messages from three different people in a passage that I looked at and went, what on earth are we going to do with this? So thank you, Tom, for choosing an excellent passage. And once again, God's word speaking to us. And so we can continue to be thankful to God for his word. Amen.